Okay, this morning I would like to speak about the title of the song, that is, He Bought My Soul. We know that sin had separated us from God. Man needed someone to pay a specific price for his redemption. Hebrews 9:22 tells us that without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. That blood would have to come from a perfect lamb without blemish. The Bible also tells us that it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. That's Hebrews chapter 10, verse 4. It is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sin. There was only one person who could meet God's requirement to be the sacrifice for our sins. Only one person who could be and was the perfect lamb without blemish. Only one person who could pay the price for our redemption. Only one person who could and did buy our souls. And we know that person was Jesus. This morning we want to take the truth of the following words personally. He bought my soul. This morning, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, we want to consider how Jesus bought our souls and what really was the price that he paid. What it cost him to buy our souls. In order to get a more complete picture of what our salvation cost Jesus, we want to consider his life before coming to earth. We already know that Jesus left the glory of heaven to come to earth to buy our salvation. What did he leave? The book of Revelation tells us that heaven has gates of pearl with angels at each gate. The wall of the city is composed of jasper that is 72 yards thick. If I'm doing my math right, that's 216 feet. The wall of the city has 12 foundations, with each foundation composed of precious stones. They are jasper, sapphire, chalcedony, emerald or garnet, sardonyx, carnelian or sardius, chrysolite, beryl, topaz, chrysoprasus, jacinth, and amethyst. The names of these gems are only an earthly representation of something heavenly. Actually, the foundation of the wall is more beautiful than what we can visualize from the names of these gems. The streets are made of pure gold. The splendor and the radiance, the glory of God, is so great that it lights up the entire city so that there is no need of the sun or the moon. Time is an eternal day up there because there is no night and you will never get tired in heaven. Thank you, Jesus. Imagine a river clear as crystal flowing from the throne of God and the tree of life bearing 12 varieties of fruit. Imagine leaving this awesome, incredible beauty of heaven and coming to a dirty, stinking manger, tell it like it is, to begin a suffering life on earth, which would end in a brutal, near-fatal beating followed by a six-hour crucifixion. What about the glory of Jesus in his deity? Colossians chapter 2, verse 9 tells us, "For in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form." Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 to 17 and 19. He, Jesus, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him. Revelation chapter 19, verse 16. And on his robe and on his thigh, he has a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Revelation chapter 11, verse 15. And the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. I want to read something in Revelation chapter 5, and we're going to read verses 11 to 14. You can follow me if you want. Revelation chapter 5, and we're going to read verses 11 to 14. Give you a moment to get there. Revelation chapter 5 and verses 11 to 14. Then I looked and heard the voice of many angels, numbering thousands upon thousands and 10,000 times 10,000. They encircled the throne and the living creatures and the elders. In a loud voice they sang, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise. Then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea and all that is in them singing, to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever. The four living creatures said amen, and the elders fell down and worshiped. Multiple thousands of angels were worshiping and praising Jesus. What about down from his glory? Philippians chapter 2. Now we're going to see like a turn of events over here. Philippians chapter 2, verses 6 to 8, I'll read it to you. Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even to the death of the cross. Jesus left the incredible, unimaginable beauty and glory of heaven, his throne, the worship of many angels, many thousands of angels, removed his glory, his majesty, and became a man and a servant to man. He lived with miserable, sinful people. He had lovingly decided to pay the price for our sin and misery. Jesus knew what his life on earth would be like and how it would end with the mocking, the pulling out of his beard, the scourging, the crucifixion, and he willingly came anyway. He left heaven to become a suffering servant. He humbled himself and he made himself of no reputation. Matthew chapter 13, verse 55 states, Jesus was referred to as the carpenter's son. John chapter 13 records that he washed the disciples' feet. He lived to serve man and then died so that man would not have to spend an eternity in hell. He became sin so that he could save the sinner. He purchased our home and eternity in heaven. He left heaven so that one day we could live with him in heaven, not for a fixed period of time, such as a vacation, but for all eternity in that incredibly beautiful place. What an incredible, undefined, unknown, infinite love he has for us. What was the price that Jesus paid to buy our souls? Jesus left heaven to become a suffering servant, not just a servant, a suffering servant. Isaiah chapter 50, verse 6 records, I offered my back to those who beat me, my cheeks to those who pulled out my beard. I did not hide my face from mocking and spitting. The Son of God allowed man to spit on him. Man's disgusting saliva hurled into the face of Jesus. If someone spit in your face, how would you react? The Creator allowed man to spit in his face. He bought your soul. He allowed man to pull out his beard, causing great pain and swelling, and his face to bleed. Jesus healed many sick, but no one put bandages on his wounds. They were left open to get infected. Who knows the fever that Jesus had while he was on the cross? Remember that his brutally beaten back was pressed and grinding against the dirty bark of a tree, causing infection. Don't think they took off the bark before they crucified him. It was left on the tree to grind into his back after the scourging. And he was crucified with dirty wrought iron nails. Talk about infection and running fevers. Isaiah chapter 52, verse 14 reads, his appearance was so disfigured beyond that of any man, and his form marred beyond human likeness. The one who created and formed man and gave him facial features didn't look human anymore. He bought your soul. Let's turn to Isaiah 53. I'm going to read verses 1 to 9 and then 11. Isaiah 53, verses 1 to 9 and then 11. I want to read in King James, but you can follow along in your pew Bibles. Isaiah 53, we're going to read verses 1 to 9 and then 11. Who has believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall go up before him as a tender plant, and as the root out of a dry ground. He has no form or comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. He was chastised that we may have peace, and with his stripes, the scourging, we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he has done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Verse 11, he shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. In song, Jesus is known as the man of sorrows, tears, and agony. Jesus comes to earth to die for the salvation of man. And how does man react to this? Man despises him, rejects him, spits in his face, slaps him, brutally beats him, condemns him to death, and kills him. Speaking of Jesus, someone once said, he came to pay a debt he didn't owe because we owed a debt we couldn't pay. Keep in mind that the same hands that created the universe were crucified. As the hymn at the cross states, amazing pity, grace unknown, and love beyond degree, beyond measure. The pity, the grace, the love of God shown through Jesus' suffering cannot be measured or imagined. He bought your soul. Jesus allowed man to judge him, and man condemned the Son of God to death. There was no justice in Jesus' trial. It was a mockery of a trial. A murderer, Barabbas, was released instead of him. He allowed Roman soldiers to beat him until his back became a mess of torn tissue until he bled profusely. It's possible that some of his teeth were knocked out during the scourging. And I'm sure that the Roman soldiers didn't care where they struck Jesus. He was brutally beaten so that we could receive healing. The one who created humanity allowed man to brutally beat him until his body was literally torn open. He bought the soul. He who formed a hand allowed man to slap him in the face. The one who created the tongue, which should be used to worship him, is now subjected to hate-filled mocking and scorn. Jesus came with a message of love and hope and redemption, forgiveness, but he allowed himself to be mocked by foul-mouthed men. He allowed man to forcefully put a crown of thorns on his head. The one who is called King of Kings and Lord of Lords had a crown of thorns on his head. He who created the blood and knowing how necessary it is for life allows himself to bleed profusely. As he continually bled, life was continually leaving him. He bought your soul. The one who created the nervous system allowed himself to experience pain so intense and so extreme that his body contorted in agony. He bought your soul. He allowed man to nail him to a tree that he created. He cursed the fig tree, which wasn't bearing fruit, so that it withered and died, but he did not cursed the tree on which he would be crucified. He knew what tree it was. He's God. He created the tree. He created the tree on which he would be crucified. Who knows how many times he may have passed the tree, but he would not curse it. Viewing the crucifixion, we see that the hands which created the vastness of outer space and held stars were crucified. He who is timeless and holds time in his hands permitted a six-hour period in his life when he would experience extreme, brutal, intense suffering and agony. He made his grave with the wicked. Jesus was crucified between two thieves as if he were a criminal. Jesus was innocent but died like a criminal. Jesus could have stopped all this suffering. We said this many times. He could have called just one of the many thousands of angels who worship him to destroy all those who are inflicting his pain and suffering. But he did not allow even one angel to help him. Think of it. Now, the angels were there at the foot of the cross. They were horrified at what was going on to their Lord. They couldn't do a thing about it because Jesus wouldn't let them. Now, was that intense, unimaginable love for us? He didn't allow even one angel to help him. This was the same Jesus who was in the beauty and glory of heaven at the throne of God, surrounded by the glory of his angels. He left his high and lofty position, subjected himself to the cruelty and hatred of man, and became obedient unto death. And he willingly went to the cross. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2 states, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of God. What joy is there in the suffering that Jesus went through? It says, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. You know what the joy was? Our salvation. This is how Jesus bought our souls. This was the price that Jesus paid to buy our souls. Make it personal. He bought your soul. He bought my soul. Just want to read the first verse of the song, He Bought My Soul. There's a cross for everyone to bear, but there's a heaven for each soul to share. There's a place in heaven waiting me. I got it through his death at Calvary. Each drop of blood bought me a million years. A soul was born each time he shed a tear. He loosed the chains that fettered you and me. He bought my soul through death at Calvary. Okay, we're going to, at this time, we're going to begin a very sacred part of the service, the Holy Supper, remembering he bought my soul, he bought your soul. sacred presence of Jesus up here. I've got to pray that the Lord makes me worthy to even pick up these items. Lord Jesus, this represents your body and your blood. And I pray that you make me worthy even to pick it up. We come here with great reverence, extreme reverence before you. When Jesus instituted the Holy Supper, he took bread. God, make me worthy. He took bread and broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body." He took a cup and gave thanks and said, "Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the transgression, for the forgiveness, rather, of sins." This is so sacred. I want to pray that this bread and this wine and grape juice becomes the body and the blood of our Lord Jesus. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we come to you in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, again, we come here with great reverence and respect for you, great love and great gratitude for what you have done for us. No one did for us, Lord Jesus, what you did for us. We are to be eternally grateful to you. And Lord Jesus, we are just so grateful to you, how much you mean to us. We pray, Lord, that this bread becomes your body broken for us, and this wine or grape juice becomes your precious blood. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I just want to spend a few moments examining ourselves and ask the Lord to forgive our sins, and also ask him to help us to walk in the path that he has chosen for us, and to be more seriously committed and sincerely grateful to him. He bought your soul. Spend a few minutes asking the Lord to forgive you before we partake of his body and his blood. Those of you online, please have your wine and or grape juice ready. We will do everything together so we synchronize with those that are here. going to ask Brother Mike Dowdy and Eric to assist me up here. Welcome to the presence of God. This is the body of our Lord Jesus broken for us. This is the most precious, powerful blood of Jesus. Anyone who has accepted the Lord into his or her life is welcome to take the Holy Supper. Ushers, please take for yourselves. And we're going to take the bread at this time. Those online, you're going to take the bread, the body of our Lord Jesus broken for us. Now we're going to take the wine and the grape juice, those online, the most precious blood of Jesus. Okay, we're going to get down to pray if someone will lead us in the words of prayer to conclude the message, and then we will sing the last hymn.
Our Father, how thankful we are for this most precious gift, the gift of salvation through the body and the blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Father, how thankful we are as we gather here this day. How grateful we are for this gift. You've made it alive in our lives, Lord. Help us to live lives worthy of this call. Help us, Lord, to grow ever closer to Jesus and the great cross of Calvary. Lord, help us, we pray.
Amen. We're going to conclude with hymn number 234. I will sing the wondrous story. Number 234. I'm remembering the services of this upcoming week. We have Bible study and prayer Tuesday night at 7 o'clock. Next Sunday we have service here. 234. So we have Bible study Tuesday night at 7 o'clock, Bible study and prayer. Next Sunday, service here at 10 o'clock. Keep in mind we have our A barbecue coming up on Saturday, August 15th at 12 o'clock. I will have a sign-up sheet next week. And if you're coming, please sign up so we know how much food to get. On those of you online, please email me or text me and let me know if you are coming. Okay, hymn number 234. Eric, if you could give the benediction, please. I will see the wondrous story of the Christ who died for me. How he left his home in glory for the cross of Calvary. Yes, I'll see wondrous story of the Christ who died for me. Sing it with the saints in glory, gathered by the crystal sea. I was lost, but Jesus found me, found the sheep that went astray. Through his love, arms around me, drew me back into his way. Yes, I'll sing the wondrous story of the Christ who died for me. Sing it with the saints in glory, gathered by the crystal sea. Jesus healed me, faint was I, from many a fall. Sight was gone, and fears possessed me, but he freed me from them all. Yes, I'll sing the wondrous story of the Christ who died for me. Sing it with the saints in glory, the crystal sea. Days of darkness still come o'er me, sorrow's path I often tread, but the Savior still is with me, in his hand I'm safely led. Yes, I'll sing the wondrous story of the Christ who died for me. Sing it with the saints in glory, gathered by the crystal sea. Eric? Bless you all. God bless those of you online. We'll be signing off now.
God bless you,
you too, Janice.